The verse 20 pleases our text. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, that's to the rich farmer, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The theme of the gospel message for this service tonight is this: the death of a farmer. Some of you may be familiar, you may remember an evangelist by the name of Frank Marshall. Frank Marshall ministered with the Irish Evangelistic Band in this land many years ago. He was a man that was greatly used in his evangelistic labours. On one occasion, when he was holding a mission, he was going around the area before the meetings commenced. He was doing some outreach, speaking to the people, inviting them along to the gospel mission. It was a country area, a rural area. And as he was going around the doors, he saw a farmer in the field. And he walked across the field to speak to the farmer, to invite him along to the meetings. Sadly, the farmer was a man that wasn't sympathetic to the gospel. He was prejudiced against it. He got angry when Mr. Marshall spoke to him. In fact, he went mad. And he chased him from the field. Chased him from the field with a pitchfork that he was using to do his work. A few weeks later, when that mission was coming to an end, Mr. Marshall saw the same man, the same farmer in the field again. He had been troubled about him, concerned about his opposition to the gospel. And as he saw him in the field that second time, he thought, I'll give him another invitation along to the meetings just before the mission closes. Walked up across the field, and as he approached to where the farmer was standing, he saw that there was no movement. And he found the farmer dead, standing in the field, leaning on his pitchfork, the very same pitchfork he had chased the Lord's servant from the field with just a few weeks before. That, men and women, is the story of the tragic death of a farmer. And it's even more than that, because it was the tragic death of an unconverted farmer, because the man knew not Christ as a Saviour. And men and women, that is really the story of this text of Scripture that's before us tonight, Luke 12, verse 20. This text tells us the story, the same story, the death of a farmer. Here's a farmer who is successful. His farm is doing very well. Here's a farmer who's prosperous. He's a man that's making money. But he dies. He dies tragically, and he dies without God's salvation. And perhaps the same will be true of you. Maybe you will die unconverted. And men and women, our purpose tonight is to warn you of that awful danger, to warn you of that awful reality. There's some important points about this farmer's death that I want you to note with me. You'll notice, first of all, his strength. Isn't it true that farmers are men of great physical strength? That was especially true of farmers in former generations, whenever there wasn't as much farm machinery, and all the work was done manually, all the work was done by hand. Some of you in the meeting tonight will remember turning the hay with the fork, bringing in the barley in the bags, scattering the manure in the field with the fork. Some of you will remember the threshing, the binding, the milk in the cans, and all the other manual work that had to be done on the farm. It was, and it still is, hard work being a farmer. You have to be strong in body. Farmers are strong men. And the man that the Saviour speaks of here in this passage of Scripture, he was a man that was very strong physically. For one thing, he was young. He said, much goods laid up for many years. So here's a man, and he's looking out on life. He's expecting to live for a long time. He had all his life before him. He was a young man. And on top of that, he was healthy, because he was working hard. He's a man that's out in the field. He's bringing in the harvest. The picture that the Saviour presents us with here is of a man that's healthy, a man that's strong. So here's a young man. He's in the prime of life. A young man without an ailment. And perhaps that's your condition tonight. And if it is, men and women, there's something you need to remember. There's something that you need to take note of. Because that's when this farmer died. He died in his prime. And what a warning, men and women. What a warning that is. Can I say to you tonight, the Bible nowhere promises that you will live to be old. Job says, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Notice that he didn't say you'll come to your grave in old age. Age at death in the sovereignty of God is different for every person. And many are not old. You only have to walk around the graveyards, read the details on the headstones. You think of Barzillai, great supporter of King David. He was another farmer from Gilead. Barzillai died when he was old, died when he was frail, died as an octogenarian. He was 80 years of age. But what a contrast here, because this man died when he was young. He died when he was strong. He died in the full bloom, the full vigor of life. So let me remind you, there is no guarantee that you will live to be old. So what that means, men and women, is this. It means you need to get saved. And you need to get saved today, immediately. You need to get saved and to get right with God now, while you still have time and while you still have opportunity. His strength. I want you to notice as well what we're told here about his substance. The verse 16 tells us the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. So this farmer was wealthy. He was a man of substance. The Saviour tells us that very plainly. This is a man that had already made a lot of money. And because of the good harvest, in fact, I think we could say it was the best harvest that he'd ever had, ever experienced, because of that harvest, his fortune had just increased. So he was a man of substance. And perhaps you're the same. Maybe there's someone in the meeting tonight. You own a lot of property. You're worth a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that if you get that money honestly and if money's not your God. But if you do have a bit of this world's wealth and your life is completely taken up with those things, there's a very important question that you need to consider and ask yourself that's found in the words of our text in verse 20. Do you see what it says? Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? What the Saviour is saying to this man is, who will have it all when you're gone? Who will fight over all of your wealth when you're no longer here? That, men and women, is a good question. At the start of our reading tonight, verse 13, the Saviour had been asked, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that interesting? Disputes among families over wills and inheritances. It's nothing new, men and women. It took place in the days of the New Testament. It took place even in Bible times. Even the Lord Jesus was confronted with it, had to deal with those sort of situations. Can I ask you to notice, the Lord Jesus didn't get involved in that family dispute. He said, who made me a judge or a divider over you? But I want you to take time tonight to consider the question, men and women. When you're dead, who will have your wealth? Well, one thing is certain, and that is that you won't have it. Remember the words of the psalmist? For he saith that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. So just take those words in tonight, because that's what's going to happen to you as well. You're going to leave your wealth. You're going to leave it all, everything. And you're going to leave it to others who come behind you. You think of Alexander the Great. The first great king of the Greek Empire died as a young man, around 29, 30 years of age. Whenever Alexander died, it was his request that when he lay in state, for people to file past his corpse, that his hands would be placed upon his chest, with his palms outward. And it was a very clear message that he wanted everyone to take from his posture as he lay in his coffin. And the message was that despite the vastness of his empire, all the great military victories that he'd experienced, despite the wealth that he amassed, he left this world with nothing. He left this world empty-handed. And men and women, I want you to take that in tonight. You can labour all your life, however long or short that will be. And you can labour all of those years to build up an empire that's worth a fortune. Maybe have a lot of money, own a lot of property. But you're not going to take it with you. You too will leave this world empty-handed. You too, my friend, will leave this world with nothing. Do you remember what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes? Remember, Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes at the end of his life. He's looking back on the life that he had lived. And this is what he said in Ecclesiastes 5:15. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return as he came, and shall take nothing of his labour, which he may carry away in his hands. Does not sum it up well? Shall take nothing of his labour, which he may carry away in his hand. Didn't Paul say something similar to Timothy? We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Here's one of the great certainties of life, men and women. You're going to carry nothing out of this world. You're going to take nothing with you. So I want you to be clear about that fact. I want you to understand tonight, you won't take a thing with you from this world whenever you die. Death is a separation. That's a very good definition of death. When you die, your soul is separated from your body. But even more than that, when you die, death will separate you from all that you possess in this world, your wealth, your riches, your land. You'll be separated from those things forever. There's an old gospel hymn that says, at the river, it's a reference to the River Jordan as a picture of death. At the river, you leave it all behind. Can I ask you, men and women, would that not warn you this evening? Would that not warn you of the need, the great need, to be in possession of something that you can never lose? You need Christ tonight. You need his salvation. In the face of the certainty of death, you need to be born again. You need to be saved by God's grace. And you need to be sure of it. Absolutely, 100%. You need to be saved and sure. His substance. Third thing I want you to see in the passage, that is his season. Solomon said, to everything there is a season. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Think of the question, when did this farmer die? At what season of the year? Well, it's clear from the details of the passage, he died in the harvest time, died at the time of ingathering. In other words, it was a very busy time of the year, probably the busiest time of all. I think that would be, every farmer would say the same. The harvest is the busiest time of all of the year. You know, there's a lesson there, men and women. You think of this man dying at the busiest time of the year. Do you know what the lesson is? You may be too busy to eat. Sometimes that's the case in life. Sometimes that's the case on the farm. You might be too busy to talk to others. You might be too busy to pray. How sad that is. There might be times that your life is too busy to allow you to go to church. Come on the Lord's Day. Come to the midweek service. May the Lord trouble you about that. You might even be too busy at times for your family. too busy for your wife, your children, your wider family circle. But remember this, men and women, learn from this passage. You'll never be too busy to die. I want you to remember that solemn truth. One day, a farmer looked up across the yard. He saw the minister getting out of his car, walking down the road towards him. The farmer shouted up across the yard to the minister, "Don't you be coming here today. I'm far too busy to have any time to talk to you." The minister said to him in reply, "Just one question before I go." And this is the question he asked him. "If I was death coming down across the yard towards you today, would you still say I'm too busy?" The reality, men and women, one of the great lessons of this passage, you're never too busy to die. Death is no respecter of persons, no respecter of circumstances. Death never takes account of where you are, never takes account of what you're doing, how much you've still to do. It never takes account of what plans you're making or what plans are unfolding in your life. You know, there are those who have died in a church pew, just where you find yourself tonight. Those who have died in the pulpit. There's a young fellow who went to the Martyrs Youth Fellowship with us years ago, told us of the church that he grew up in. The minister was speaking one night, didn't feel very well, took a step or two back and sat down in the seat in the pulpit, out into eternity. You can die at weddings, some of the happiest events in the family calendar. I had a great aunt that died at her on the day of her granddaughter's wedding. The reality, men and women, you're never too busy to die. So let me ask you tonight, what of you? What if you died today? What if you died this autumn time? What if you died at this harvest season? What if the grim reaper came now, put in the sickle, and cut you down? What then? You might argue, that will never happen to me. Well, remember that this man died suddenly. His death came without warning. His death came unexpectedly. I'm sure you've often read that in the obituaries in the paper. Many of the obituaries now are found on the internet as well. So-and-so died suddenly, died unexpectedly. Well, that's just how it was with this farmer. His death was a shock to the family. His death was a shock to the entire community. He was young. He was in the full vigor of life. He thought he would live for many more harvests. He thought he was going to live for many more years, but he didn't. Just a few hours later, before the morning dawned, he was dead, he was gone, and his soul was in hell. So let me ask you again, what if you died today? What if you died at this autumn time? What if you died at this harvest season? How would it be with you? Have you any hope? Any hope for your soul? Any hope for eternity? You think of the words in the text, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This Sabbath night, men and women, this night in which we're all found by the grace of God, it's a vital night for you. This is a night of destiny. This for you is a night of eternal destiny. Remember that the warning of this passage is that, like this farmer, this could be your last night. So you need to be ready. You need to be sure that whatever happens, you know that your soul is going to heaven. Jeremiah said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." The we there was Israel, Judah in particular. Let me personalize those words for you tonight. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and you are not saved. Another harvest passed. Another summer ended. And still you're not right with God. You know, for Judah it was just one harvest, one summer. But that's not been the case for you. God has been patient. merciful, long-suffering. The hymn writer said, many summers you have wasted, ripened harvests you have seen, winter snows by spring have melted, and still you linger in your sin. How fearful that is, men and women. One other thing I'll mention to you, that's a soul. The text says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Not your business plan, not your architect's plans, not your books, your finances, your bank balance. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. We don't know from this passage what was the cause of this man's death. The Bible doesn't tell us that detail. We don't know if it was an accident. Remember that he was engaged in a building program, building work. We don't know if it was an accident. We don't know if it was an illness. We're not sure how he died physically. But we do know this, men and women. We do know how he died spiritually. Because he died unsaved. He died without Christ as a saviour. The fact is that this man's soul was lost. And I want you to ponder the awful reality of that. A soul been lost. Your soul been lost for all eternity. There's words there in the middle of verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Think of those two words, no room. Those two words really sum up all of this farmer's life. Because he had no room for his harvest. That's why he decided to pull down his barns and build greater. That's why he was launching out into that vast building program. But far worse than that, men and women, he had no room for the Lord. No room for the gospel. He had no room for salvation. Oh, he had room for business. He had room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he could enter in his heart for which he died. Those words describe this man. Perhaps they describe you tonight as well. Here's a man planning for time, planning to live a comfortable life for many years. But he had no plans. He hadn't even a thought for eternity. And men and women, that is the greatest folly of all. The greatest folly that any person can be guilty of. That's the reason why the Lord called this man a fool. Thou fool. It's because he had no thoughts, no preparation that was made for his soul for eternity. Many years ago in Texas, in Dallas, the pastor of the First Baptist Church was a man called Dr. George W. Truett, George Washington Truett. He had a man in his congregation who was a rancher, invited Dr. and Mrs. Truett out to the ranch one night for dinner. After dinner was over, took him up onto the roof of the house. It was like a viewing gallery, viewing platform. He wanted to boast a little. Wanted Dr. Truett to see all his wealth, all his land. So he's standing up on this viewing platform and he points out in every direction. One direction there was forests, acres and acres and acres of trees. In another direction there was grain, the barley, the corn, golden blowing in the wind. In another direction there was the grasslands, the meadows, acres and acres and hundreds of cattle grazing upon it. In the other direction, there was oil derricks. You know that there's a lot of oil in Texas. He was branching out into the oil industry. He said, Dr. Truett, I came to this country 25 years ago. I had no money. But I've worked hard, very hard, and I've saved hard. And everything that you can see tonight, in every direction, it's all mine. He paused for a moment. He was waiting for words of praise, commendation from the pastor. But to his surprise, they didn't come. The pastor stepped closer to the dear man put his hand on his shoulder and with his finger pointed up to the sky, he asked him, "How much do you own in that direction?" He hung his head in shame. He said, "You know, I've never thought of that." Can I ask you tonight, are you like that man? Completely taken up with all that you own here, but not even a single thought of heaven, of your soul, and of eternity. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, is it well? Is it well with thee? Now, we're not asking you, is it well with you physically, well with your health? We're not asking you, is it well with you socially? We're not asking, is it well with your career, well with you financially? And all of those things are important. All of them have their place in life. What we're asking you tonight is it well with you spiritually? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with you in the light of God's great eternity? How is it with your soul tonight? Can you say confidently, say beyond the shadow of a doubt, that it's well? It's well with your soul. You think of a girl receiving a lovely diamond engagement ring from her fiancé, but she's more taken up with the box than she is with the ring. She loves the little box, the colour, the velvet contained within it. She tells him that she thinks the box is beautiful. She'll treasure it for the rest of her life. You would say that such a girl would be foolish. And yet, you know, men and women, you're just the same. In fact, even far worse. How is that? Well, you're taken up with your body and no consideration for your soul. How is it, men and women? How is it with your soul at this harvest time? The Savior sounded the warning. What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think of this farmer. Think of all that he gained at this harvest time. Think of all the money that he made. What would it profit a man? He thought he'd made a lot of money, made a lot of profit. What would it profit a man? Gain the whole world and lose his own soul. What a tragedy, men and women, that would be. And I want you to consider tonight the reality of your soul being lost forever. The death of a farmer. Let me say this to you just in closing. The first person ever to die in this world was a farmer. His name was Abel. The little child's catechism that we teach the children the answers to says that Abel was a keeper of sheep. And Abel died, it's more accurate perhaps to say that he was murdered. He was murdered at the hand of his own brother, who was another farmer. Two brothers, two farmers. Abel died and went to heaven. But Cain died and he went to hell. The book of Jude tells us clearly. He went out to the blackness of darkness forever. So let me just ask you as a finish. Which will it be for you? When you die. And remember, one of the lessons that comes from this passage is you could die tonight. Don't forget that. So when you die, which will it be for you? Will it be heaven or will it be hell? I want to plead with you, men and women, to think of your soul tonight. I want to plead with you to come to Christ. Come and trust the Lord Jesus. So when you go from the service tonight, you will have that peace in your heart that it's well. It's well with your soul. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" May the Lord bless his word to every heart.